The Encounter Lesson 5. This is an intimacy value lesson. It's entitled Being Filled with the Holy Spirit. The call. I choose to seek the Lord's direction in the decisions of my life, earnestly desiring to be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit that I might fulfill His calling on my life. So as we begin to look at what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we have to ask ourselves a question: who is the Holy Spirit and why did He come? Now, this lesson, we're not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but we do need to define this. So, as we read in our book, it says, the Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Trinity. The Trinity is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One God, but always existing in three persons. One God. When you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit came to live in you. Now, to understand about the Holy Spirit, and to learn more about the Holy Spirit, let's look at some scripture references to see what they tell us about the Holy Spirit. So, if you look in your book, John 14:16-17, that reads, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever, and the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives with you and will be in you." So you see in your book some blanks. Please just fill in the blanks as I go. So from this scripture, we see that He is a helper or counselor. He is an helper or counselor. John 16:8 says, "When He comes, He will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment." So the Holy Spirit convicts of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. In verse 13, it says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come." He guides us in the truth of God's Word. So the Holy Spirit is going to guide us in the truth of God's Word. And again, just one more verse down in John 16:14, it reads, "He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you." So we see that He, the Holy Spirit, glorifies Christ. He glorifies Christ. Now, the next verse is in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So we see that the Holy Spirit, He gives power to witness. He gives power to witness. In 1 Corinthians 6:19 reads, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." So we see that He indwells all believers. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, so He indwells all believers. And then Romans 8:16 says, "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." So, as we see, He assures us that we are His children. He assures us that we are His children. What do you think it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Very quickly, write down your thought. What do you think it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit? As we begin to look at this question on page 25, we see that it says that all Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit from the moment of spiritual birth. Now, spiritual birth is salvation, and indwelt means the Holy Spirit is living inside you. Okay? But notice it says not all are controlled or empowered by Him. Not all people are controlled or empowered by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, number one in your book says to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be directed and empowered by Him. Please underline directed and empowered by Him. Okay, when you're filled up with the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit is directing your life and that He's empowering your life. Now let's look at a couple of scriptures that's going to tell us about this. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 13, says, "Some, however, made fun of them and said they have had too much wine." What does this have to do with being filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, if you begin reading in verse 1 of Acts chapter 2 and continue down, you see that this is the historical account of when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time. And they had all gathered in the upper room, just like Jesus had told them, and they had been praying and seeking God. And then the Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind, and there was a sound, and these flames of fire came and descended down, and everyone began speaking in tongues, and everyone outside comes running in. And And they saw them, they're speaking in tongues and everything was going on. The people outside, it said they made fun of them and said that they being the ones who were filled with the Holy Spirit, have had too much wine. Okay? Now, there's a point to this. Let's look over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This is a command, and it says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So we see here there's a command that says, don't be drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the question in your book says, what's the main difference between being filled with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit? What is the difference between being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit? This is a very important question because when the people were first filled with the Holy Spirit, they were accused of being drunk. And yet we see from Scripture that says, don't get drunk on wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. What is the main difference? Please write your thoughts. As you've had a chance to do that, the answer to this question actually lies in the next question. It says, why is a person changed by one of these agents? Okay, both wine and the Holy Spirit exert control over a person. That's the answer to your second question. Each one of these elements, the Holy Spirit and wine, exert control over a person. Therefore, what's the main difference between being filled with wine and being filled with the Holy Spirit is who is in control. Who is in control? When you're filled with the Holy Spirit comes upon you and he begins to direct and empower you, okay? And his direction and empowerment will cause you to do things that you would not normally do. The same thing with wine. When you begin drinking wine, the wine will actually take control of you and you will do things that you will not normally do. And you do it because you feel empowered. The difference is wine gives you a false sense of empowerment. And you do things that look silly and stupid, but you're doing it because you have a false sense of empowerment. When the Holy Spirit empowers you and he begins to direct you, you may do things that look silly, but the difference is you actually have supernatural power. Now, the next part here says, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to abide in Christ and bear fruit. I want you to circle the word abide. Circle the word abide. It's very important to understand that being filled with the Holy Spirit is abiding in Christ. It's not a one-time zap thing, okay? It's abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. So look in your Bible to John chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 8 verses. John 15, verses 1 through 8 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That means that you've been saved. Your sins have been washed. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So I have a question about that reading. It says, what comparisons can you draw between the relationship of the vine to a branch and of a Christian to Christ? What are some of the comparisons that you can draw? Okay, and you can fill in what you believe there. There are many things. A Christian lives and produces fruit by being linked in with Christ. And it's the power of Christ, by the Holy Spirit that causes us to produce fruit within our lives. And so there's lots of different things that you could do in comparison there. But write out something. The next question again. What are some specific changes you hope to see as God produces his fruit in you? So take a minute and write out, what are some changes in your life that you want to see God do in you to bear fruit? Okay, the next section says, read Matthew 4:19, Galatians 5:22 and 23, and Ephesians 5:18 through 20. According to these passages, what is the fruit that we are to bear? Matthew 4:19 reads, come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So Matthew 4:19, the fruit that we are to bear is to be fishers of men. In other words, we are to see people come to know Jesus. We are supposed to see the lost become saved. That's what a fisher of men is. When Jesus said, I'll make you a fishers of men, he meant that you will go out and you'll see, you'll reach people the same way a fisherman catches fish. So you're supposed to see people come to the kingdom of God. That's fruit. The second one, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, reads, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So another part of fruit of the Holy Spirit that should be in your life is your life attitudes and your actions. Okay, these are not emotions. Peace, patience, joy, kindness, these are not emotions. These are your attitudes and actions that come out of your life. So these things should be producing fruit. These things should be happening in your life. The last one comes from Ephesians 5, again, 18 through 20. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this one here, you see there should be some thanksgiving and some singing to the Lord in our heart. In other words, our heart should be uplifted, and we should be have this focus upon the Lord. So here we see this focus and godly principles of the Lord coming out in our life. Okay, and again, that's another part of fruit, sort of like a life of worship. Okay, so as the Holy Spirit controls us, we mature in Christ, and the fruit of the Spirit become increasingly evident in our lives. Turn your book over to page 26. What are the characteristics of a Spirit-filled life? Okay? And you'll notice immediately some of these pictures, which should look familiar from lesson 2. And right here, we have the picture of a Spirit-filled life. Okay? So right now, I want you to take a moment, and I want you, I know it says discuss the following diagram, but I want you to write down, if you can remember, what it means from lesson 2. Pause this and then write down your thoughts. Now that you've had some time to think about that, just briefly, let's go over this. Remember, this is the circle is your life. Jesus here is in your life. He's sitting upon your throne of your life. He's in control. He is your Lord. You are at the foot of the throne serving and obeying him, and he's divinely orchestrating the things in your life. Okay? So, right below this, we have the following chart below lists some of the qualities of a person who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, these are just some qualities of a person who's actually filled with the Holy Spirit. So on a scale from 1 to 10, with 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest, I want you to rank how these qualities are currently developed in your life. So take a moment, rate yourself out on how much of these are currently visible in your life. Okay, now that you've rated yourself, follow me here on this next paragraph. It says, the degree to which these traits are developed in a believer's life depends on the extent to which the Christian trusts the Lord in every detail of living, upon growth toward Christian maturity. We're going to underline some words in that paragraph because I want to emphasize them. Okay, the degree. I want you to underline degree. The degree. In other words, how much of those numbers up there, are those traits, how much of that is going to be developed in your life? So underline degree. How much of that is going to be developed in your life? It depends on something, okay? I want you to underline depends. Underline depends. So how much of those that are going to happen in your life depends on the extent to which a Christian trusts, underline trust, the Lord, with every detail living, upon growth, underline growth, toward Christian maturity. So you'd have four words underlined in that. Degree, depends, trust, and growth. The reason I have you underline those is I want you to understand that if, for example, you ranked yourself and you saw that understanding the Bible, and you go, man, I don't like to read the Bible. I don't know what it says. So you put a one or two there, okay? Well, as a Spirit-filled believer, you should get and have great understanding of the Bible. So in other words, the degree, that number, if you ranked yourself a one or two, the only way that number is going to go up for you and your personal ranking, in all honesty, is going to depend on what? It's going to depend on how much you're going to trust God. How much do you trust God in every detail of your life, and you're growing in him, okay? Because if you're not growing in him, if you're not trusting him, you're not growing in him, that number will not go up. So that's why you underline those four words. Number 3, being filled with the Holy Spirit, means spiritual inhaling. Now, we covered spiritual breathing in lesson 2, but we're going to specifically deal with spiritual inhaling. Inhaling is the second part of spiritual breathing. It means being filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember that exhaling, the first part of spiritual breathing, is confession and repentance. being able to exhale is crucial for a believer if he desires to spiritually inhale. Now, we're on page 27, and we're at the top of the page, and here again is another diagram. This is a worldly or carnal Christian. Take a minute to write out what you remember that means. Now that you've had a chance to do that, again, a brief explanation. Circle is your life. This is the person that Jesus, the cross, is in the person's life, but Jesus is not the Lord. He's not on the throne of the self. You yourself are on the throne, and he's just in there, and the things going on around you, those dots, they're just like a non-believer. Okay, your life looks like a non-believer because you're not being directed, empowered, or controlled by the Lord. So this is a carnal believer here. We're talking about spiritual inhaling. When you inhale the Holy Spirit by faith. So I have the question, why is the average carnal Christian not filled with the Holy Spirit? Why is that carnal Christian up there not spirit-filled? Okay, well, obviously, you have to confess and get that out. But why, when they breathe in, are they not being filled? I have two reasons for this. One is lack of knowledge. Okay, by definition, you can write out beside that. What does lack of knowledge mean? It means you do not understand how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There are Christians out there that they're not filled with the Holy Spirit because they just don't know how. They don't understand. They lack that knowledge of how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the number two reason why Christians are not filled with the Holy Spirit is lack of belief. Lack of belief. And for definition, for you to write out, that would mean that these people, these Christians, are afraid or hesitant to yield to the Holy Spirit and Jesus' control. So lack of belief is they're afraid or hesitant to yield to the Holy Spirit and Jesus' control. Most people and most Christians I talk to, is not that they don't believe in the Holy Spirit. It's more that they're too scared. It's more they're too scared. If they're Christians, they believe in the Holy Spirit. They believe in these things. They're just too scared to actually give him control. Okay, so lack of knowledge, lack of belief. Okay, now, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's several factors in preparing your heart for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Okay, these are just things that you can do to prepare yourself. Okay, number one, you must desire to live a life that will please God. Underline desire. You have to want God. You have to want God. Number two, you must practice spiritual breathing. That means you have to confess and repent when you mess up or you let sin in your life or sin comes upon you. You confess and repent and you do this cleansing. Number three, you must be willing to surrender control of your life to Jesus according to the command of God. Okay, you have to be willing to surrender. Okay, that Romans passage is you want to be a living sacrifice. Okay, you have to surrender your wants and desires. Number four, you became a Christian by faith. Okay, you became a Christian by faith. You just believed. You believed that Jesus died for your sin. You believed he rose again. You believed that he's the Lord. Simple faith. So number five says you must also walk by the Spirit in faith. Okay, so walking in the Spirit is another faith thing. So that's how you prepare yourself. Again, although preparing your heart is important, you are not filled with the Spirit because you desire to be filled or because we are living sacrifices. We are filled by faith and faith alone. Underline that in that paragraph. We are filled by faith and faith alone. Not because we want it, not because we're confessing sins, not because we're living sacrifices. Okay? All those things are good preparation. They are preparing us for it, but in the end, you're only going to be filled by the Holy Spirit by faith. You're only going to be filled by faith. So on page 28, let's read some verses here, and God's going to do some great things. In Ephesians 5:18, it reads, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit." Okay? So what is the command here in this verse? It's a question. You can write the answer down. But the command here is obvious. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is it his will for you to be filled with the Spirit? Well, yes. If he's commanding you to be filled, then it is his will. Okay? So those are two questions you need to grab hold of first. Now the next scripture is 1 John 5:14-15. This reads, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." So God promises that he will always answer when we ask according to his will. Okay, I know there's lots of things. You've always heard this thing about ask God and he'll give it. And you go, well, I asked for a car and I didn't get it. Right here it explains this. We have to ask according to his will. So the question is it his will for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes, we just saw in the previous scripture we read that is his will. It's not only his will, it's a command. So he wills it, and now he commands it. So if we ask something according to his will he give it? One last scripture here. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. That's usually pretty easy to remember. Luke 11, 11 through 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what will the Father give us if we ask? So right here, he just comes out and says, if you ask with the Holy Spirit, what are you going to get? You're going to get the Holy Spirit. Okay, I remember once the Holy Spirit was moving and someone said, well, how do I know this is not a demon? And you come back to the Word of God. Okay, I do know that demons can harass believers and demons can produce deception. But if you cry out to God, if you say, dear Jesus, send me the Holy Spirit, and we see that it's his will, it's his command, and you ask, right here the scripture says, if you ask for this good thing, is God going to give you something bad? You know, that's like a child asking for an egg. Is God going to give you a scorpion? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, this says, how much more is he not going to give the Holy Spirit? So that's awesome. That's awesome to know that the Holy Spirit is going to come just by asking and by believing and receiving. So what should you do now? A person is filled with the Holy Spirit by faith, by trusting God to take control of every area of their life. You could ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit in a prayer like this, okay? We have a sample prayer, okay? I'm going to read this prayer, and I want you to think about the simplicity of the words. There's no single prayer or words that gets you there. It's just a simple faith-believing thing, okay? But yet it's the deep significance of the comments, okay? Now, okay, just think about this. Here's the prayer. It says, dear Jesus, I need you. I acknowledge that I cannot live a perfect life. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. Take control of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as you have commanded me to be filled. Thank you for your promise to do this in Jesus' name. That is just a simple prayer. And if you pray something like that, okay, the exact words isn't what matters. It's the intent of your heart. But if you pray something that simple and just believe, then the Holy Spirit can fill you. Okay, things to remember. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit already indwells in you from the moment of salvation. We can never make ourselves good enough to please God. We must live by faith in Jesus. We must not trust our emotions. Although being filled with the Spirit will often produce emotions, we must not search for an emotional experience. This is very important, okay? Because if you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come on you, you may have an emotional experience, but don't look for an emotional experience, okay? Because the Holy Spirit is more than us being emotional. Being filled is not a once-for-all experience. Okay, we read about being abiding in Christ and staying in Christ. It's not just a one-time thing. Okay, again, the first time a person is filled may be followed by signs and emotions, but we are called to constantly be filled as a way of life. Okay, so being a Spirit-filled believer means every day we wake up and we ask for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. Okay, and we walk in that filling. We walk in that power. We walk in that direction. So right now, you can take a moment. If you have not been filled by the Spirit, if you did not receive the Holy Spirit upon the encounter weekend, you can do that right now. If you did and you just want to believe for a fresh filling, then you can do this too. But I'm going to pray, and let's believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come and fill and empower you. So right now, you just begin to call out to God. So, Father, I ask right now that the listeners who are listening to this, that their hearts would be open. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'd come. Come, Holy Spirit, begin to fill their hearts. Begin to overflow into the life. Lord, I ask that your power begin to overshadow them and they'll begin to blow, Father, on them in their room, right where they're at right now, God, just like you did in the book of Acts, God, that you begin to fill them and empower them, God, to walk with you, God, in a supernatural lifestyle. Father, I thank you for that, and we ask you to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.